What is up, entrepreneurs, business owners, and probably my grandma? This is Business Vibe. Today's interview, we talk with Inder Nirwan, founder of Kahani Pictures. Inder built a filmmaking business that generates $350,000 per year by showcasing how companies are driving real change through powerful storytelling.
So what inspired you to start Kahani Pictures?
Sure. So Kahani Pictures, you know, I've been a filmmaker my entire life, and Kahani Pictures was like a natural kind of evolution into wanting to launch a career into filmmaking, but do it kind of on my own terms. I guess I can go as far back as when I was like 8 years old, was when my father first came home with a camcorder that he had rented. And I was like, become aware to the fact that you can actually make movies, and just became completely enamored with, you know, the form and the fun of it all. And I was making, just trying to do like these stupid James Bond movie remakes with my friends all the time. But everyone really saw the passion in me. So my family encouraged me, my high school when I got there encouraged me, and all the way through film school, I did, you know, wonderfully and met lots of great like-minded people. And then I started working in the film industry for about a decade or so. And that experience kind of slowly but surely eroded away a lot of that glimmer in my eye. The industry is hard. I don't know if you know much about it, but, you know, very long hours, very unforgiving kind of work, you know, life balance. But more so than that, I was really starting to become disillusioned by just like the quality of the projects that we were working on. Like a lot of the film projects I was on, just, you know, there wasn't a lot of soul in them. You can just tell that these are just like, it's just a big apparatus to make a few people a lot of money. And, you know, it didn't share that same kind of magic that I had when I was a kid. And it really, you know, came to a full stop for me when I was working on a reality TV show that had to do with like these tow truck drivers that respond to like really harrowing kind of big semi-auto accidents, like out on like extreme highways and things like that, kind of like an Ice Road Truckers type show. And in the climax of the first episode that we were launching as like the pilot of the series that was going to be our bread and butter, the tow truck drivers, they happened to be like the first responders to a scene of an accident, and with the camera crew, and they actually discovered someone who had unfortunately passed away as a result of the accident. And the showrunners decided to put that in the show. Like they were like, this is great drama. And that just really didn't sit right with me. The fact that we were capitalizing off of someone's, you know, ultimate demise and the suffering of their family. And I didn't really know that I had like a set of personal values to that degree until that happened. And I just quit right then and there. And I pretty much quit the entire industry. And I felt like film wasn't for me. I'm not cut out for it. But then I wound up getting a job for a cosmetics company. They just needed a videographer. Wound up, and they were a kind of a company that I've never seen before. They really espoused their values and put that first and forward. And they wanted to talk about that in meaningful ways. And so what they did was they would send me out to all these community spaces like around the world. I went to like Ghana and Africa and Ecuador and the Galapagos Islands and like all these beautiful, really interesting places where their business would touch these communities, because they're like buying ingredients over here, or they're supporting, you know, some grassroots organization that's like supporting a women's cooperative that makes shea butter or something like that. And I got to tell these beautiful stories about these amazing people from around the world. And I just fell in love with that kind of filmmaking. What I started to notice was that with the advent of like social media at the time and more video marketing becoming a thing, a lot more people were demanding more authenticity from the businesses in which that they were interacting with. And so a lot more companies were wanting to do that kind of thing, but many of them were getting it wrong. They didn't know quite how to do that. So I figured that that was an interesting business opportunity for me to take my expertise in storytelling and filmmaking, marry that to this like values-led, you know, business kind of profiling, and turn that into a service offering for like-minded businesses. So that became the Kahani Pictures, is what we do now.
What do you do with Kahani Pictures?
So Kahani Pictures, we call ourselves an impact storytelling company. We work with mission-driven, purpose-led organizations, anyone that has a vested interest in impact within their business model. And we find the stories about that impact actually occurring in the world. So we go and find stories about the people whose lives are most impacted by the work that you do. And then we make beautiful cinematic storytelling experiences all the way from documentary films down to like social media branded content and everything in between, so that you have these touch points to be able to show people like why you do the work that you do. And it just becomes this like amazing way for businesses to really demonstrate their impact without being like beating their chests about an issue or getting all greenwashing and all that kind of stuff. It's just heartfelt storytelling about real people. And because your business exists, this person's life is better for it. And that's and it's an authentic story. You can't take that away from you.
So it's really in-depth and authentic.
Yeah, authenticity is kind of the key there. And I think that that's something that is really challenging for a lot of people to wrap their head around on how you accomplish that. And it's been, you know, I started this business with my wife, who had worked in corporate philanthropy for over 24 years. So she really understands that community engagement space and how nuanced it can be and how challenging all these individual, especially at like that grassroots level kind of, you know, issues can be. Marrying literally her expertise in that and then my sort of yearning for wanting to do storytelling that actually has like some meaning behind it, I think we found some kind of a secret sauce where we can really draw out that authenticity.
So, and what role does like storytelling, I think you've already kind of touched on this a little bit, but what role does storytelling play in your business model? And how do you ensure like the project resonates with both like your client's mission and your audience? How do you find that median?
For sure. So, I mean, storytelling is obviously at the core of what we do. And I mean that I feel like storytelling as a subject can be kind of construed in so many different ways. And especially in the marketing world, people utilize it in really strange kind of ways. But storytelling, at the end of the day, it's a way of sharing an experience. It's a way of sharing ideas through expressing something you might understand or have witnessed in a way that touches people's hearts and minds in a kind of like a multi-sensory kind of way. In order to do that effectively and consistently, you need frameworks. And that's where that filmmaking background really comes into play, because if you know anything about the film industry, like every movie you watch, like they're down to a science how they're built and like how they're structured, and like by minute, you know, 25, this needs to happen, by this part of the movie, this action needs to happen, the hero needs to do a certain thing. So all these little like touch points, we can build those into the stories that we're doing, and not to like drive the story a certain way, but to at least give some kind of a structure so that there is a satisfying conclusion by the end of the experience.
I mean, how do you approach like the challenge of telling those stories while also meeting like the client's expectations? Do they kind of flow together, or do you find that those are separate?
Yeah, I think that interesting thing that we do is we really front load our engagement with a lot of discovery work. And so we actually have a part of our process we call the listening journey. And what we do is when we engage with clients, you know, we want to hear from them what it is that they are trying to ultimately put out into the world. But then we're like, we're going to truth that by speaking to more stakeholders throughout your supply chain than you might think. So we're going to talk to people within your organization, people in the leadership teams, people all the way down to like your truck drivers or whoever might be on the, you know, the front lines. We're going to talk to your buyers, your suppliers. We're going to talk to your competitors. Going on that listening journey, we start to recognize underlying themes that everyone said something about this and everyone had something to say about this, but maybe over here, there's a disconnect between leadership and who's on the ground. And so that's an interesting thing to bring up. And so often what happens is when we come back and report back to the, you know, the client on what we found, they have like this sudden epiphany, aha moment of like, well, we never realized that that's how people perceive us. We thought it was this thing over here. And we're like, yeah, they do. And we can prove it to you. We've got a story. We found someone who their life experience is exactly what we're talking about. And then we go and make the film about that.
That is so interesting. Your service is so much more than just, you know, making a video. It is
100%. It's really serving organizations to better understand where their impact lies. And also, you know, connecting the dots between like what they want their beliefs and values to be versus what's actually being translated on the ground in the world. And I think that is where a lot of, you hear this term greenwashing a lot. And what happens is that when you don't do that work, it's just the people at the top saying like, oh, we're doing all this great work. We've reduced greenhouse gas emissions by 50%. Let's make content about that. When really on the ground, it's like your truck drivers are laughing at you because, you know, no, you don't. Or like it didn't, you know, it doesn't affect them in the same way. Yeah, that it's such an important aspect of the work we do is like helping our clients understand like what is their perceived like impact in the world.
So a side quest that I'm kind of curious about, have you ever brought something to one of these business owners that you found and had them, you know, really push back and get offended kind of, even though it might be true?
You know, that hasn't necessarily happened yet, but we do try to prepare ourselves for something like that. More often what it is that people, you know, and this gets alleviated more in like the qualifying stage of our sales process, where we really want to get to the core of like, why do you even care to tell these stories? If you just want us to make videos and make you look good and make it all glossy, we're not the company for you. And so, you know, we try to nip that in the bud early on. But I think there's been maybe like one or two cases where it wasn't communicated effectively. Then at the end of the day, they wanted us to do something else. That only really happens when there's like another middle, I think, layer of management involved. So like, if it's like some agency wanted to hire us on behalf of a client of theirs, and it's like we communicate to the agency what our expectations are, they somehow translate it incorrectly to the end client, and then something gets lost. So that's usually where it happens. So I feel like when we're in direct communication, we're able to really sit them down and be like, look, here's what we're doing and here's why it's important. And that the result of the work that we're doing is demonstrating why it's important, right? It's like, look at these people who all of a sudden there's something meaningfully changed about their life because of the work you guys do, and you didn't even know it, right? So they're usually pretty pleased to hear that kind of news.
What are some of the big challenges that you faced while building this business around, you know, filmmaking and branding content?
So I would say that probably our biggest challenge is awareness. You know, we live in such a loud, fast-paced, like hyper tense kind of media landscape right now. And a lot of that is like, you know, it's disenfranchising for a lot of people. It's just so hard to keep up with. And then for people that, you know, they think they need to do what they see other people doing. Mm-hmm. And really what they're seeing people doing, the ones that are really successful, that's like the 0.01% of like who's out there. And everyone's trying to copy and paste what they see, right? So the most common pushback I get is like, oh, but attention spans are so much lower. And I'm like, and so, you know, the content needs to be very fast paced and high retention and under 30 seconds or whatever, you know, their misconception might be. I always have to come back to the notion of like, okay, well, what's the highest priority here? Is it to get a billion views? Because if you want to get a billion views, sure, let's just copy and paste whatever Mr. Beast does, right? He knows how to do it. Or is it like, do you want to capture these moments in the history of your business that builds the legacy of the work so that you can like watch this either today, tomorrow, or 10 years from now, and still feel just as proud of the fact that you made a difference in someone's life. And we want to capture that in a beautiful film. And there's something about that cinematic quality that's never going to go out of style. So whatever the in vogue social media trends are today, you know, they literally become obsolete by the end of the day. Meanwhile, our films continue on. We have clients that still go like they have retreats where they're showing films that we made for them like 10 years ago.
So you're creating the evergreen content that they are very proud of.
And like, I don't like to look at it as content, right? Like, I like to look at it as just like, it's a documentation. It's like you're creating like a time capsule and you're building your legacy of like your business. And if you do it enough, then you have enough content per se that maybe 5, 10 years from now, you can create this like feature length movie. That's like the history of your business, and it's your life's work. And it's like, it's really meaningful to look at that when you were capturing those moments contemporaneously, rather than having some like old guy talking about it, you know, at the end of the day, like in like retrospect, right?
Something that really piqued my curiosity while I was preparing for this interview was like, what practices do you have and put in place to maintain, you know, the creativity under like tight deadlines and budget constraints and stuff like that? Do you have a lot of that, or do they give you the reins and you take your time and can really create and craft something that's good for your client?
So, I mean, we have our bread and butter storytelling framework, which, you know, usually results in some kind of like an emotionally compelling experience. And that's because we're respecting the life and nuance and characters that we're working with. And, you know, it's easy to fall in love with people when you are able to see them in a vulnerable state. Like, it's, you know, that's kind of the magic that I think we'd like to pull out. As far as the creativity kind of stuff goes, you know, there's a sliding scale. Like, we have one dream client who they've hired us a retainer, and they're like, don't even show us what you're doing. We just want to see the end result because we're such fans of your work, and we want to be delighted and surprised by it. And you get our brand, you get the stories, go do it. Here's some money, go do it. And then we're just like left, you know, carte blanche, just go out. And that inspires us to want to do something because we want to delight them just as much every time, because we're like, this is such a fragile relationship, right? Because they can take this away from us at any point. So we have to impress them every time. And then we have others that want to be much more hands-on. There's like, you know, you get so many different people are excited about the glamour of filmmaking and they want to be there on set and be involved in all the fun stuff. There's people that have no idea what it is that we do and just want to be totally hands-off and like everything in between.
Do you mind talking about revenue?
Sure.
Tell us like maybe your best year.
I mean, our years get better. Like year over year, we're growing at about a rate of 30%. That's primary. So here's the thing. When it comes to the business model side of things, it's been kind of like a more of a prototypical creative getting into a business space. Therefore, it's like, it's very feast or famine. We've just been kind of like, you know, we haven't done a lot to really put ourselves to market, or really up until now, you know, I have a much clearer idea of who our target market is. But prior to this, it was kind of like all businesses that have a story to tell. And now it's like, no, we want to do impact-driven businesses that, you know, care about building community around their outlook on things. And so there hasn't been too much of a growth strategy. And therefore, it was just like, as work comes in, we continue to do it. And by word of mouth, other people want to hire us and so forth and onwards. So with that alone, we've been growing 30% year over year. But I mean, our best year was our last year where we, I think, netted around $350,000. So which is all right for the two of us. And, you know, it's such a lean business that's like, you know, we can pay our rent and mortgage and eat food and do whatever. But now as we're looking into the future and wanting to scale this, you know, my wife's pregnant, we've got a baby on the way, and starting to think about sustainability. And also, like, for us to have real impact in this space, we want to make sure that we could build this business into something that can service more organizations and put more of this ethos out into the world. So we're looking for a lot more growth in the coming years based on some of the strategy work that we've been doing in the last couple of days.
Well, thank you for sharing that, and good for you guys. That's awesome to hear. Do you take on multiple clients at the same time and do projects simultaneously, or are you kind of one at a time?
I'm currently in the middle of 17 different projects.
So how do you handle the logistics of that?
I curl up into a ball and no. So again, you know, credit goes to my team. So there's me and my wife. We also have a part-time production coordinator on our team who helps us with all the more of the day-to-day task related kind of management of the projects. And we've just kind of like bootstrapped together like a bit of a system that seems to work for us, where we have our weekly meetings. We check in with where all the client projects are, divvy up the tasks that need to be done, and then stay in constant communication with our clients to let them know where things are happening. And then if things need to move, you know, people are typically pretty understanding. Given the space that we're in, you know, we work in a field where a lot of our clients are people that understand, you know, things can move and be flexible and fluid, and they're compassionate people. And so it's not too often that if like something needs to change that people get quite, you know, difficult about it, but that might've happened like once or twice, but for the most part, we're staying on top of it.
And so do you have any specific tools or platforms that are particularly valuable to your growth that you couldn't really do this without?
You know, we bounced around within a number of different tools and just kind of landed on the Google Workspace being the most versatile one, where we can share things with clients, but also keep things private, keep it all within one system, reference each other, that kind of thing. We tried Notion. I think we've tried in the past like ClickUp. And while they all have their strengths and weaknesses, the challenge we always found was like the interoperability between other programs. And often when we have clients that are, you know, they want to file in a certain format, they can't access the Notion thing or whatever, it would just become difficult. It's like an extra layer of training because people don't even know what Notion is. So Google for now has become our de facto sort of digital headquarters.
And so kind of like moving into the marketing and the client acquisition, how do you market your services and what really resonates with your target clients?
Great question. So we have been not great at marketing our business. To date, we haven't really done any kind of outbound marketing that's been as a result of any kind of cohesive effort. Every now and then, we've just recently started to think more about what should we be doing on our social media platforms. And so we're starting to post more about our partnership, posting some videos around like how we made, you know, this video, or and now even wanting to get further into like our philosophy of storytelling and how it impacts storytelling can really, you know, be a differentiator for businesses. So it's all additional work. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way to manage that while we're still doing the client work. That's kind of been like the balancing act that we're still figuring out. Up until now, a lot of it's been pre-existing relationships, word of mouth. Like I mentioned, my wife, who comes from like a history of corporate philanthropy, also comes with like a vast network of people that are in that impact space. And so when we go to conferences or are in seen in like public events where those type of people are around, we can have these conversations, and that usually sparks some kind of interest. But moving forward, we are definitely much more interested in honing in on our messaging in and around how impact storytelling can be a differentiator. And so with that, I think we can be a bit more laser focused with messaging in online advertising and social media marketing.
How do you use your impact of your work to attract the new clients and build those long-term relationships, those new long-term relationships?
Yeah, the case studies definitely help. We've got a number of projects that have had real-world implications. You know, we did a project several years ago about the issue of, here in British Columbia, it used to be legal to hunt grizzly bears for sport. And so there were a number of businesses that were buying up tags and creating outfitting operations that flew in a bunch of like basically just rich people that wanted to shoot and kill bears for trophies. And so we joined a coalition of organizations that wanted to put an end to that because there was no real benefit to the province. There's no taxes being collected on it. The people that come and do that, they just come, they do their hunt, and then they leave. And bears are like a national treasure. They're like a part of like the landscape here in Canada. It's part of our identity. And yet here we are just letting people just shoot them for very non-scientific reasons, right? They would give lame excuses about population control, but there was no like science to back it up. So anyways, long story short, we did a documentary to coincide with this campaign. Within 6 months of the documentary's release, there was a moratorium put on trophy hunting in British Columbia. That was 2016, and the moratorium still holds till today. So we like to think that we participated in saving a lot of lives there. And then, you know, we've with our partners, we've heard numerous cases in which like they've been able to utilize the films that we made for them to win big business. You know, we have an architecture firm client that they use the films that we make for them as part of their interview process. And they've been winning like tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in projects. We have a organization that's been creating this like revolutionary community financing model called Community Bonds. And we helped them tell their story, and they were able to leverage that video as part of an application process for a grants program that's worth $25 million. And now they're a finalist, and they heavily referenced the video as like a key component to what made them stand out. Yeah, there's, and then, I mean, you just go on the comment sections of our videos and they tend to blow up. We released one just yet. And like, and that's without an audience of our own. Like we'll post something and just like, if the algorithm picks it up, it picks it up. And like the comments speak for themselves. So we definitely feel very confident in our ability to like touch people, you know, at an emotional level.
Good for you. Yeah. Those case studies, then they really sell themselves then.
You know, and then we can talk about things like employee retention and that too. Like, I think one of the real big benefits of the films that we create is that they're not just marketing materials, right? They're really a means for qualifying the impact of your business. And so that is relevant in so many different touch points than just sales and marketing. So, you know, going back to that architecture firm, we actually did a screening at their office of a film series that we're doing that's about people whose lives have changed because of these buildings existing. And at the end of the night, you know, we had architects coming up to us being like, I never had a way to explain to my family why I do what I do. And now I have that. Like, thank you for making this, right? And they were like, people were in tears. And it was just, and we're used to that. Like, we're used to people seeing the value of their work being respected beyond this just being a tool for driving sales for a campaign. And again, this goes back to that evergreen legacy building piece of what I was talking about, that, you know, there's a lot more value in this than just, you know, we can put it on a campaign to drive like whatever metric.
Sweet. So moving like into the personal insight and kind of the end of the interview, there's a question I always like to ask everybody I interview. What was your childhood like? Did you always kind of, and you already kind of touched base on this, you know, you loved filmmaking from a very young age. Did you always want to be a business owner?
When I decided to get into running my own business, it was just like a calculation of opportunity. I just, you know, I could see where the world was going in terms of online video marketing and video, I guess, like as just like a cultural phenomenon with like YouTube and Facebook had just launched into video and Instagram. And so like it's becoming this thing. And the real cultural shift, what I was seeing was this type of media has been a relationship with the masses that's just like a one, like a mono directional kind of thing. It's like you've got these elite people in Hollywood or very rich, you know, businesses that have the power and the money to tell the stories that they want to tell. And they do it in a way to manipulate you into buying things or thinking things. And they put that out there in the world and we just consume it. We had no way of feeding back and giving back our own version of what that was. And the shift we saw with the rise of social media and particularly the video, and that now it's what we're seeing today in, you know, in every facet of society, is that it's now flipped. Now it's like the individuals get to create their own media and content, put it out to the world. And it's the brands that are now chasing after them, trying to catch up and trying to look all hip and cool and what have you. And like, you know, it's such an interesting paradigm shift. And so that for me seemed like, but the challenge for all the people that are now making all this content is they don't know how to make content that's effective, right? And they're figuring it out in strange different ways. And that's where we're seeing a lot of these sort of like fleeting moments of trends and different things coming up. But it's a lot of like, to me, it's like a dog chasing its own tail. Like they know they have something, but they don't know quite what to do with it. And so I just thought like, hey, having some expertise in that traditional, like, tried and true cinematic storytelling framework that people still, you know, love to watch movies, and there's something so compelling about the way movies are made and the stories that are told that they just like hit us in this meaningful ways. There's, I can apply that and not have to rely on the Hollywood machine or to have these like $100 million budgets to do it. I can do it on these more consumer laden platforms. So that was kind of the driving force between being like, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that working for some business somewhere. I really am going to have to start my own. But there was nothing about starting a business other than that that really appealed to me. Like, entrepreneurship hard for me, and it just wasn't the skill set that I had. Now I'm starting to like, I think, find my stride with it. But at the beginning there, it was pretty difficult.
How do you want your business to be remembered, and what impact do you hope to have on the organizations that you work with and the audiences that you reach?
I really hope that what we can prove by what we're doing is that storytelling is a catalyst for change, and it's a catalyst for good. It's a way for people to really experience one another's lived experiences in a way that I think is kind of being lost a little bit, especially now as we're seeing such like hyper-polarized, you know, echo chambers of opinions and like knee-jerk reactions to things that are happening in the world. And I think that if we can demonstrate that, hey, it's okay to slow down a little bit, it's okay to take our time, let's like spend a moment with this person who looks nothing like you, lives in a place that you've never been before, and is experiencing something that, oh, there actually is something to it that you understand. Let's dive into it a little bit further. I think if we all just did that a little bit more, you know, it might just take the dial from 11 to 10, right? And so I'm hoping that that's the impact that we're going to make by telling stories the way that we do and inspiring others to do the same. Because once they see that this is possible, you know, I'm hoping that more and more people will start following suit.
What advice would you have for somebody who wants to start their own business?
Yeah, starting your own business is quite an endeavor. And I think that no matter how well you try to prepare yourself for it, it really just is going to hit you like a ton of bricks. What was it? Mike Tyson says, you always have a plan to get punched in the face. And that's kind of what it feels like sometimes when you're running your own business. And I think that it's really going to test you in terms of your perseverance. It's going to test like your stress levels. And I think you really have to go into it understanding that like you are not your business. You are your own human being that is worthy of, you know, respect and dignity and of compassion and of living life in like a, you know, a comfortable way. Mm-hmm. And if you can separate yourself from your business in order to do that, I think that's the most important thing, because no matter what then happens with your business, you've made that boundary for yourself, and you can, you know, keep that kind of happening. A lot of people ask me like, or how are you able to do this with your wife? Like, it doesn't that drive you bonkers? Because, you know, we have our personal relationship, which is wonderful and great, and I wouldn't change it for the world. And then our business relationship, which is also like, you know, people often say when you have like a business partner, it's almost like a marriage, right? You're that intimate with them. So having this, you know, two-pronged kind of relationship with my wife, I think has really been a great way for me to understand how to create that barrier where like, no matter what happens in the work day, we can go home and still be, you know, our confidants in one another and every other aspect of our life. And so I think being able to do that with yourself too is very important, I think, like mental model to create when you're getting into entrepreneurship.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that we didn't cover?
Misconceptions, or maybe one of the challenges that I feel like we come across when we talk about something like impact storytelling for businesses is that there's a lot of rhetoric around people saying like, you know, businesses shouldn't be doing that, or that's mm-hmm. not like, you know, you're just here to sell soap. You shouldn't be talking about like what's in the soap? I don't know. But like people, you know, I think they create this like idea that it's like such a woke concept of like trying to change the world when really that's not your business. And I think that, you know, that couldn't be further from the truth. Like these businesses that create the products that we consume on a daily basis, like that's a very intimate relationship that we all have with these organizations that are affecting our lives in so many ways. And then the impact of us buying their goods and services or whatever have you also then has an inverse effect on the world by way of like we're promoting, you know, the way that they run that business, whether that might be through extraction or through, you know, taking advantage of underrepresented people or whatever that might be. So I think that for the businesses that want to be doing right by their values and their customers, and maybe they're not there yet, right? And that could be something that they're afraid of, being like, oh, if we make a piece of content that talks about, you know, our impact in this space, everyone's going to throw tomatoes at us because, you know, whatever reason over here. And I think that, you know, that happens when you don't do the work of what we talked about earlier, like that, like finding that authentic story mm-hmm. by really talking to everybody and understanding the core story that is the result of all the different stakeholders involved. If you don't do that work, then yeah, you are at risk of creating something that's not going to land well with people. But if you do that work, you're going to find out where you stand. And then that's a really valuable asset, I think, to have. So I think, you know, people shouldn't be afraid to explore what is their true impact in the world. If it's something you're, you know, excited about, or maybe even not, and you want to be truthful about that, I think consumers will resonate with that so much more than if you made some glossy just promo video or whatever it is. Don't be afraid to do that exploration. I think it's really valuable work.
Yeah, and I feel like myself and, you know, a lot of people that I know as consumers, they you know, they want to know who they're buying from.
Exactly. Yeah. So just you know, be open and honest about that.
Where can people find more information about you and your services?
So our website is probably our most compelling and up-to-date forward-facing channel. So kahani.ca. You can find us on social media at Kahani Pictures. I can't promise you that. I mean, no, you know, Instagram and LinkedIn, I think we're quite active on. So those are great places to get a hold of us and see what we're up to.